Welcome, everybody, to a special Defense of the Patients Friday episode inspired by an email we received recently.
That's right. So this email came from Matt P. It says, "Good day, .p crew. I've been listening to your podcast every day for the last month and enjoying all the content you bring. I just recently got into playing Dota 2, as in 3 weeks ago. This is also my first MOBA-style game. So it should come as no surprise, I am very bad. But I have been watching TI and various others play the game for years and really wanted to get out of the stands and into the game to just have fun with it too. So what I want to ask is, what are the best sources for a true beginner like myself to get better at the game? I've been playing bot matches with one other friend who is less knowledgeable to slowly learn the items, get a feel for the controls, and trying to work the camera. I've been playing Lion exclusively so I can focus on a solid support that doesn't need anything to be useful. I've been loving the last couple of podcasts about team dynamics and the item breakdowns. It has been super helpful to hear about and is what prompted me to write in. Well, thank you for what you do and your time. Best of luck in your matches, Matt."
Awesome. So, Matt, we are doing this for you. I think so far, just based on your email, playing Lion, I would agree that that is a pretty good hero to learn. A pretty good hero to start with.
I'd say, like, more to the point with his email, like, what sparked the initial thought for this episode was just that when we first started this, it was very new player-centric.
Yeah, and I remember that every single night before I'd go to bed when I started, I was so intrigued by this game that I'd watch a new Purge plays every night. But this isn't about me. This one is about Siphus. Siphus is going to bring in the first, and I'm going to ask him a series of questions, as well as the rest of our show hosts as we go through this. It's going to be piecemeal. You're going to hear from Ursinity. You're going to hear from a bunch of people, Wazoo, Flub, everybody, and get their take on this. So you ready to begin?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so how did you get into the game?
The Grand Wazoo is definitely responsible. I think that's true for you as well. I mean, and we've talked about this on the show in the past, but for those who are kind of just getting into .p, I mean, he was telling us for years, right?
Like about a year.
Yeah, it feels.
Don't
like,
talk about me. Talk like about forever. You. Don't but, talk about me. Talk about you.
Well, but I mean, you're involved in the story. He's telling us, and like I remember watching. In fact, I remember standing over his shoulder while our buddy 3Flow was over here
because he played the shit out of it. Yeah,
and I remember looking over their shoulders and watching the game and just kind of thinking, ah, fuck it, I'm good. You know.
Yeah,
and then he got us to play it, and yeah, I got into the game probably for the wrong
reasons. I'm just good at video games. I remember when you started playing. I'm just good at video games.
Well, that's
I'm just good at video games.
I am good at video games. I mean, shit, I'm of the generation that grew up with video games. Sure. I mean, don't you consider yourself good at video games in general?
Some. I'm a bad FPS player, for sure.
Sure.
I always have been. And I'm bad at, like, Twitch games, like Mario. We can go all the way back to Mario, but this isn't about me, this is about you.
But this game made me feel retarded, if I'm being honest. Like, yeah. I'll never forget. I vividly remember running through the tutorial, which doesn't exist anymore, and playing the Sniper and Dragon Knight were the first two heroes.
And then you're like, I'm just going to stick on Sniper.
Yeah, and so I pop Sniper, and, you know, the concept of, like, different roles for heroes is something that, you know, I'd say MOBAs and maybe, just Team Fortress 2 are probably the only games I can really think of that, like, at the time that I had any familiarity with any kind of, like, roles. And so coming into this, I was not thinking about roles in lane and what type of hero you should be playing, and I was just running that Sniper, and I was pushing the waves. I had creep equilibrium was something I didn't really fucking
auto
think
attacking
about.
Creeps, that type of thing. So okay, first role, first hero. Let's hear and you don't have to say Sniper. Like, we understood you played like Sniper 5 times, then you realized what you wanted to play.
And then I because of D&D, I won't lie, because of my like fantasy love, I was like, I'm gonna play a spellcaster, and so I locked in the Skywrath Mage, and probably my first 70 games were Skywrath.
Yeah,
and they were miserable losses for the most part.
Yeah, there was definitely a trio going on with me, you, and Wazoo, where it was the Faceless Void Lich Skywrath.
Yeah,
and we were like, this is it. This is gonna take us.
All we had to do
to
was
top.
Wait for Wazoo to land a Chrono and throw down ults.
And this is Faceless Void back when he was a hard carry, not offlane Faceless Void. All right, so let's compare attitude then versus attitude now.
Oh, I'm much saltier now.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I
think it's opposite with Wazoo. I think Wazoo was a lot saltier then and is a lot less salty now.
Yeah,
I'll be
honest.
I would agree. I think that has switched for Wazoo.
I don't know. I feel like I have ups and downs. Like when it's tough and when I swear I feel like I'm giving it my all. I don't know. It's painful sometimes to continue playing Dota. And then I have experiences like last week we had a game where we were losing miserably and we had a really shitty player on the team. It was that PA game that we played with ZD. And that PA was just being a complete dick the entire time. And, you know, I just acted like he was on mute. That's been my new thing, is just to act like they're on mute so I can kind of hear what they're saying, what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Inevitably, they stop talking because you're not responding, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy team was super cool about the win. They, like, you know, the PA was trying to talk shit in all chat, and it was just like, hey, guys, great game. You played it well. You know, hey, sorry about this PA. He's super salty. And he started getting pissy in the all chat, and he was...
Oh, and then and then the Mirana on the team was like, how do I find you guys? I want to join.
Yeah,
and,
well,
and
on the opposite side. No, it was the enemy. The Slardar on the enemy team was like, hey, what does .p stand for? I was in a clan years ago. And
yeah.
Brought up Defense of the Patients. And it was an overall, like, good experience.
Horrible game, good experience.
Yeah, and which is weird to say about a losing game in Dota. Mm-hmm. And especially one with a really shitty teammate, and I don't know, yeah. It sparked a little bit more positivity in me, so
yeah.
I don't know,
that's good.
It goes in ebbs and flows, I'd say.
That's good. All right, so what did you do to improve? Was it just playing the game? Was it guides, in-game guides, out-of-game guides, YouTube?
I didn't use...
Friends, what was it?
I didn't use the built-in guides in the game for a really long time. I mean, initially, my whole thought going into it was just, I'm going to spam Skywrath. I'm going to know this hero intimately. Everything I do on him is going to be automatic. And once I have that mechanically down, then I can start getting an appreciation for just the ebb and the flow of the game in other ways. I got a lot of shit for that, for wanting to spam one hero.
Especially from me.
But I'll say that, you know, the arguments were plentiful, but probably the top one was just, how will you ever learn other heroes? And over time, like, getting better at having Skywrath, you know, so mechanically down, for, you know, as good as my mechanics could get. I was able to start, like, clicking on other heroes. I was able to start, like, figuring out what their abilities did and interact with every hero in every situation. And I definitely learned the heroes that it sucked to be, you know, Skywrath mage against. I don't know that that's the right way. I think everybody's going to have a slightly different play style, but...
A slightly different answer to that question, indeed.
And so the other thing I did was TI4 was going down at the time, and Bulba was playing for Team Liquid at the time.
Yep.
And his, like, signature hero at TI that year was Skywrath.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just went and started watching what he was doing. And he wasn't hanging in lane with his buddy on a Faceless Void. You know, he was moving around the map. Yeah. He was doing other kind of shit. And it made me, it gave me a deeper appreciation for it. And then I started going out and looking for more of those types of things. And I'll plug, and I'm sure you will agree, the Purge article, Welcome to Dota 2, you suck.
You mean Jesus Christ?
Yeah, excuse me. Purge Christ.
So what would you do differently, knowing what you know now, if you went back to that fated day when you picked Skywrath Mage? Would you not?
I wouldn't play Skywrath, yeah. I mean, if for anything, just to do that hero justice, you know, for that win rate, to have some justice done to it.
Uh-huh.
I diversify a little bit more than I did. You know, the one thing that I see new players fall into, just from the little bit of experience we've had with brand new players, is they get really comfortable on one hero, and
then it gets banned,
gets banned or picked, and they're fucked. You're going into a game and you feel even further behind than you normally were.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd say diversify.
Try and get like three or five if you're starting. Like, try and get like three if you're first starting, and on a very basic understanding.
Yeah. I'd also say don't be afraid to, you know, if you're, like in the email, he says, you know, he's been playing Lion, a hero that doesn't need a lot of items. I'd say consider playing the offlane as well.
Yeah, consider Tidehunter. Tidehunter is not a hard hero.
Can have huge impact.
Can have huge impact, and all you have to do is, are there enemies near me? Is my Ravage off cooldown? Ult.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to, one, you know, above in-game guides, maybe just go watch a video. Even if you just watch...
I think the in-game guides are pretty valuable.
I do too for, like, guide, you know, building the hero initially and mm-hmm. getting a suggestion for the first few items.
Although, don't listen to the standard core Slark, where it's a shield, double... The things that give you 2 damage, then you eat. What are those called? Fairy fire? Fairy fire. You stout shield, double fairy
no,
fire.
No, I'm with
mango.
You. Tango is the way to go.
And it's like, what? No?
You're
Slark
not that
gets
good of a
harassed
Slark.
The fuck out of the lane. Do not listen to that one. But for the most part, they're good.
But I'd say don't be afraid of offlaners, but it's worth your time. I mean, if you're going to play this game for more than 10 hours, is it not worth your time to go spend 25 minutes watching a video? You don't even need to watch to the game's completion. Watch 25 minutes of Purge's guides on YouTube for a hero mm-hmm. that you're semi-interested in. Watch a pro game that features the hero that you want to kind of learn and watch what that person does for the first 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. Figure out how they're building and yeah, definitely like ask why along the way, like why you think they might have done that.
Well, I'll give a little,
even if your reasoning's wrong.
I'll give a little tidbit here because this is not how I learned the game, but this is something that I recently heard from a 5K player, is that find your favorite hero. Go to Dota Buff and find the person who has the highest win rate on that hero and see how they build him. See what they do with him and try and mimic it to a certain degree.
I think there's more value, though, in watching. I really do. And like,
and you can download their replays, too. Yeah, you can download their replays. Match IDs are there.
I think you want to watch it happen. I there's just something to be said for seeing it, you know, seeing it occur. There's that... You know, there's this concept in learning psychology that involves, you know, mimicry, right? When you can actually learn, like, fine motor skills, well, I mean, not exceptionally well, but, like, you can improve your fine motor skills by watching somebody else do something.
Indeed.
So seeing that, I think, is important as well.
All right, so last question. Advice for brand new players. I know we kind of just went over this, but I'm talking, like, maybe they're not seeking outside resources. Maybe they didn't go to YouTube or out of game or in-game guides. Like, simple advice for, say, Matt, the Lion player. Lion is still probably your most played hero.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Don't be too afraid to diversify, but also don't be afraid to spam
a hero. Let's go even more basic. Don't auto-attack. Don't auto attack. Try and get denies.
You're getting into like deeper concepts, though. I think. So if you want to, if you really want to delve,
I think don't auto attack is a pretty easy idea to understand.
Right, but there's so much tied up in that. Like the reason you don't want to auto attack is because you don't want to push the wave. You know what I mean? The reason you don't want to auto attack.
I guess your carry
is might...
probably just as new as you. So
right, like
yeah, I don't know.
And you know, yes, you don't want to auto attack, but there are a number of reasons why you don't want to do that. And in fact, sometimes there are reasons why you do want to auto attack.
I would say if you're alone in lane, Lion. Auto attack the hell away. But if you're with somebody, don't attack the creeps at all.
I would say go check out if that article's still out there, the Welcome to Dota 2 You Suck.
He did a new one. So yeah.
So go find some variation
Purge's
on that.
Purge's guide on Welcome to Dota 2
See
You
the
Suck.
Recommendations, see the heroes to stay away from, get some basic understanding of wards. You know, just if you're gonna invest in the game, if you wanna be involved in the scene and have a more comprehensive understanding of what's going on, you're gonna have to spend some time outside of the game researching. I don't know how else to put it. Like it's Dota 2 quickly becomes a hobby rather than a game that you're playing. And if you do want to just play it as a game, stick to normal, stick to bot matches. You know, have fun with it, but you know, recognize that until you get that more comprehensive understanding, you're not going to have the impact to win more than 50% of the time.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm approaching 3,000 games played and I still play bot matches every day. So
yeah.
Cyphus, thank you for coming on.
I'm looking forward to hearing what everybody else has to say.
All right. Hello everyone. I am back with Ursinity this time. Ursinity, hello.
Hello.
And we're going to ask Ursinity the same questions we've asked everyone else and we'll get right into it. Ursinity, how did you get into Dota 2?
So I had the advantage of coming from Dota 1, but I imagine most people, and yourself included, didn't have that. I played League in the interim, so I've kind of been in the genre for a long time, but I was a fairly early beta person for Dota 2 because I lucked out. So I kind of came in with the context of knowing like the basics. Because back in Dota 1, everybody sucked. Like, anybody that says they were good at Dota 1 is lying. So I knew kind of about the game, but I came in with a very, like, easy attitude. And, you know, I played it much more casually than I do now, obviously.
Sure. Okay, so I'm going to add an extra question for you because you played Dota 1.
Sure.
And I've heard you talk about this. This is an insight that I have. Maybe our listeners don't. What was your experience with Dota 1?
Dota 1.
Or Dota All-Stars, is that what it was called?
Yeah, because there was, like, Dota. I forget what the exact title was, but there was, like, Dota, and then there was Dota All-Stars. And Dota All-Stars is when Ice Frog came in, if recalling correctly.
Okay.
And Dota All-Stars was when it got good, but Dota was a very similar but definitely different game. But I played that, like, I was like a kid. Like, I was probably, like, 12 or 13 when I was playing Dota 1, and that was, like, you know, you don't play like a strategy game. You just play it like a run at people game. And like, it was just kind of a mess. And like, because it was run through Warcraft 3, it was not exactly efficient when it came to like, people would just leave games. And there were all kinds of different modes. And it was a pretty distinctly different game, but it still had like the general shell of what we've come to know as Dota.
That's cool. Okay, so first roles, heroes, anything come to mind there?
I tended to play mid a lot when I started really playing with my real life friends, and we were playing a five stack and just yell at each other for like hours on end. And that's
did you ruin friendships?
No, but we definitely don't play with Dota with each other anymore. most of them have quit, with the exception of Nicktoons, who plays in our in-house.
Oh yeah, Nicktoons, okay.
Dynasty, whatever his name is right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all of our other real life friends don't play anymore because they're all either terrible or like we just. It's not good for the friendship. But yeah, so I played with them. So we would play in a five stack and like do jokey things. And like we make Smurf accounts. And that's where like Battle Fury Invoker started stuff like that. So we played very casually compared to like once I started taking it more seriously. And that's kind of, I think, when they fell off was because some of us had that departure into like, oh, let's play ranked and let's do stuff. So as my role, I was one of the better ones because I had Dota 1 experience. And also, I'm just better at video games than them. So I picked up mid primarily, and I played a bit of everything, but it was primarily mid back then.
So
that was when
back then there weren't a ton of heroes, right?
There were, I don't remember exactly, but
I don't need an exact number, but like,
there were
much less than 111, right?
Yeah, they were probably like the first like 50 to 75 came out relatively early. So there were, I don't. God, now I wish I knew, actually. That's an interesting question.
Yeah, that is an interesting...
There were probably, at least 75 when we were really playing.
I just wonder if there's any, like, notable... There's obviously... There probably were some notable mids missing from that that you play today. Was TA around? Is that why... Because...
I think so.
When you first showed up, you were wrecking in the in-houses as TA mid. And
yeah,
it was just not fair.
I used to play a lot of TA. Well, I needed to make a name for myself. So I was like, hey, what can I do to be in this community and people know me? I was like, all right, I'm just going to win a bunch of in-houses. Yeah. That was when I would try really hard. But yeah, I played, it was primarily Invoker. That was like, I think every Dota player, like in the beginning when they start playing mid or like they think they have a grasp of the game, they're like, I want to try to do the hardest thing.
Yep.
And there's the people that are like, I'm going to play Meepo. And there's the other kind of people that are like, I'm going to play Invoker. And then... You know, there's everything in between, I suppose. But I definitely glommed onto Invoker, and I played a ton of Death Prophet at one point. I played Nyx mid, like, all the
time.
That
was a thing, though, for a while, wasn't it?
It's good if you're good at it. It's really bad if you're not, though. I'll tell you
what's
that much.
What's the strategy there for a Nyx mid?
Like,
just in a nutshell.
Basically, the idea of Nyx mid is that you just get an early six, and you just snowball around the map by wreaking havoc and causing havoc. I still play it as a counterpick, so back when Storm... mid was a big deal and Leshrac mid was a big deal, I would just pick Nyx mid, and like a Storm would go in for CS with a Remnant, I would tank the Remnant with Spike Carapace, I'd be reflecting damage onto him. Spam mana burn, the guy suffers. It's strong in certain matchups. It's definitely not suited to the current meta where you have a lot of like physical damage dealers or pushing mid, stuff like that, but in niche circumstances it's pretty legit. So I had a lot of fun with that. And that kind of fit my like more casual play style of just trying to do new things and have fun with the game.
Sure.
Because Dagon's a fun item.
Dagon. I mean, we'll get into my first. Well, you already know it, but we'll get into that later. This is about you. What was your? So you. I don't even want to know about Dota All Stars or anything because that doesn't really even matter in the scope of things. I want to know about when you downloaded the beta and you opened it up and you started playing. What, in your opinion, was your biggest misconception?
I definitely think probably my biggest misconception would be, oh God, I was about to say something really cynical, but I'm going to stick with the cynicism. My biggest misconception was that Dota was a fun game meant to have fun with your friends. Very quickly, I think everybody learns. Maybe there's two different kinds of players, but
no, there aren't. There's one type of player.
Well, there are some players that are just like out to have fun with their friends, but really, like, I very quickly learned that, like, I have fun by winning, and with some exceptions, like, I don't want to play Razor or Viper. With some exceptions of heroes picks, I just want to, like, do anything for the W. So my misconception, I'd say, was that, like, Dota was a game where you can kind of do anything and just, like, have a good time. And so very quickly, I kind of learned, like, all right, I want to have fun, but I want to have fun through winning. So maybe that's, like, an attitude-based misconception.
Any mechanical misconceptions that have been cleared? I mean, it's hard. It's like noticing, like, if you're, like, getting taller or something like that. It's like you just don't even notice it once you've learned it. But, I mean,
like, a lot of little things, I think, when it comes to those misconceptions. And, again, like, I might be an outlier because, like, I had some Dota 1, like, frame of reference in League of Legends. Even that, like, even though the game is very, very different, it has structural similarities. So, like, I don't think I had any. I imagine some players that are new to the genre would have larger misconceptions. But I feel like it's probably just a lot of little mechanical misconceptions, like thinking that, like, misunderstanding how crit works or misunderstanding the, like, stacking of orb effects. Stuff like that is kind of probably.
I still don't understand.
For example, is such a complicated mechanic, right? Because, like, crit is actually an incredibly efficient item on PA as, like, a sixth slot, but, like, that's so counterintuitive.
Proud was talking about it because it sets up for the next one. The
game checks things, and I actually gave advice to people that I was like, yo, never build Daedalus on PA because, like, but I was wrong, and I found out. The way the game works, like the actual code in the system, is that it basically goes down a checklist. And so when you are hitting somebody on PA, the first thing it checks is this going to be a like coup de grace crit? And if no, it goes down the line. Is this going to be a Daedalus crit? If no, and then it goes down the line, is this going to be your second Daedalus crit? That's how it works, like on Ember Spirit. If you are, like, stacking Daedali, it's like it checks one Daedalus and then it checks the other. And if you have a Daedalus and a Crystallis, it checks the Daedalus. And then if it does not apply the Daedalus crit, it then checks the Crystallis crit.
That's cool. And it's ticking up their pseudo RNG each time if it's not ticking. So, yeah, as a sixth item, you can be critting like a mother.
Little things like that phantom. That make a big difference.
That is. Okay, next question. Attitude now versus attitude then. What's the difference?
Definitely. I mean, now, obviously, like, I mean, I run a podcast, like, I take the game a lot more seriously now, and I think a lot more deeply about the game. I think definitely early on, like I was talking about earlier, I took the game more as, like, a fun game to play with friends, and, like, I would just play casually. And even though then you still want to win, it's a very different attitude towards the game where, you know, you do things like have fun Smurf accounts, like, you know, Battle for Invoker, or I had a Legion Commander Smurf account that I had a macro that would yell, it's time to duel, like, jump. And we would just play those accounts and stuff. And, like, my friend had an only boots sniper account, and, like, stuff like that. So, like, definitely attitude-wise, I was much more casual and, like, having fun with the game just by playing. Whereas now that, like, I'm more knowledgeable and better at the game, I realize that, like...
And you're on a good team, too.
And I play with other good people because, like, naturally you find people that suit your like team needs, whether it's just your casual five stack friends or it's your, you know, or, you know, some people like to play the game, like they like playing Overthrow and 10v10 and stuff, like those joke modes that like will actually make you worse at Dota, in my opinion. But, like, you know, it to each their own. So I think attitude wise it's definitely that, where, like, now I'm much more serious about the game. I care about MMR a little more, still not that much because the system is inherently flawed, but I would say I care more overall, honestly.
Well, and as you kind of should in a way, because so many people listen to what you have to say and take it to heart, so I appreciate the fact that you're serious. So thank you.
And if I wasn't serious, I probably wouldn't be in this position, right?
Yeah. All right. So last question, and then we'll get you the fuck out of here, hopefully for good. What helped you the most to become a better player?
Definitely like just listening to my peers and like analyzing and not taking everything at face value. I think this kind of could blossom into a whole like much larger topic, but sure. Whether it's reading guides on Reddit or reading guides from a guy like Purge, who is very accessible, like, you know, Purge is great in his own right, but he's not going to give you the like expert, like 7K, like little nuanced things, but you learn a lot from him.
Broad strokes.
Exactly. Broad strokes. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think like just opening myself up to the knowledge of others and even like random people in pub games, like you don't know, like they may be completely wrong, but still like if they have an opinion, you have to like kind of reason it out. And this is what I say a lot when I do coaching and stuff like that. It's that if like, I learn a lot from playing with players that are like thousands of MMR below me because like they have me explain things to them, right? So the example I'd use is like if you're playing Faceless Void, it's one thing to be told like, hey, open the game with Iron Talon Tangos. And it's a whole nother thing to think, why am I starting the game and why is he telling me to do this, right? Yeah. It's a difference of just taking information or analyzing information, basically. So that's kind of the biggest thing that's helped me improve, is not only reading a guide that says do X, Y, and Z, but saying, all right, why am I doing X? Why am I doing Z? Why am I doing Y, et cetera? And so that's key.
That hit home with me because I felt like I was into mathematics, not meth, for a long time. And I feel like the tutoring is where it really solidified my knowledge on just even simple algebra that, yeah, I could research it for 2 seconds and figure it out, but if I taught it enough, it really rooted in me. So that is something Absolutely. You've done with our community pretty much since the beginning, and I can see how that would make you more firm in your beliefs when you're telling people, you know, hey, this is the right thing to do, because you're critically analyzing yourself when you're doing it.
Yeah, it's easy to go on autopilot, but you really don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like even heroes that like you've played 100 games on and like you have a natural build, still like you should be open to like if somebody says like, dude, why did you go blink? You should have gone four staff, or why did you go four staff? You should have gone blink, like stuff like that.
Captain
like even if you have 100 games of Invoker and every game is a Yule strike build, maybe when somebody tells you like, man, it would have been really good if you go Quas Wex. It's one thing to say, hey, you're an idiot. I have 100 games on this hero. Shut up. And it's a whole nother thing to say like, oh, well, maybe that guy is right. Like,
so let go of the ego. Some good advice you're giving right here?
That definitely helps. I mean, that's kind of a larger topic for sure. But ego, and even if you have the ego, like at least back it up with like knowledge, right? If somebody says...
Or willingness to listen. Like a lot of people appreciated the episode, and this is kind of why we're doing this. The one that we had with Proud, Syphus and I, it wasn't planned because Syphus and I were fairly egoless as far as our Dota knowledge, right? Like, we went into that show saying, hey, we don't know shit. We know that you're better than us. Teach us, please. And all too often, you don't get that. It's more like, oh, Arsenity says to get a Yules. I'll do that. And then you don't. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that type of behavior is so destructive where, I mean, you are quantifiably better than me. I should probably listen to you. But a lot of the time, reason is what people need. Get a Yules for this reason. You know what I mean? Instead of just, hey, get a Yules. And that's why I appreciate playing with you guys, is because it's get a Yules because they have a Slardar and you want to get rid of that amp damage as often as possible.
Absolutely.
Reason like that.
At the end of the day, Dota is a nuanced game, so the knowledge you receive or give out has to be similarly nuanced.
Yeah. Well, Ursi, thank you so much. Thank you for everything you've done for the .p community. And... you're answering these 5 questions today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back, everybody. I am joined this time by the Grand.
Holla, B-ballas.
The Grand Wazoo. How you doing today, Andrew?
Good.
Good.
How are you, Josh?
Don't use my name in this.
I'm sorry. I'm good.
Bleep it out.
It's our mother's birthday today, and I went shooting guns then, but that's a story for another time.
Do you remember like those like Unsolved Mysteries things where they would get the people, but they wouldn't want to be seen, so they'd be all black, and their voice would be like, I saw him do it, but I don't know why he did it.
Yeah, like in Gangland?
Yeah, pretty much. That?
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's what I want this interview to be.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to ask you a few questions. Of course, a lot of these questions I don't actually know the answer to, and you're my own brother that I've lived with my entire life. So let's get right into it. You ready? How did you get into Dota 2?
I was just interested in Valve, have been for years and years. You and I both have. We played Left 4 Dead, played Half-Life growing up, Half-Life 2. When I saw they were doing a new game, Dota 2, I was like, where's the first Dota? And then that kind of like showed me it was a Warcraft game, and I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of remember that. But it was mainly Valve, and I was just watching it one day, and I just said on a stream, man, I wish I had a key to this, and someone gave me one. So then I started playing. It was cool.
And then
beta times.
Yeah, and then you got me a key, and I played Storm Spirit and was like, this game's garbage, and went back to StarCraft.
Yep.
But no, yeah, you... what were your first role in Heroes?
I first picked Invoker as my first hero.
Okay.
I actually think I asked someone and they trolled me and told me to pick Invoker the first time. Like, and what so should I pick? Was just like, this is the most complicated fucking game I've ever seen in my entire life. It's like, I wonder if every single hero is like this. Like, it's cool, you know, like it's like WoW kind of in terms of having all the skills there, but at the same time, there's a lot of depth and complication to it. But eventually I just started playing Sniper and Bounty Hunter, and that was just my game. You know, it was either hopping on to play a Sniperino game or a Bounty.
Bounty, yeah.
Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I remember you said, didn't you say something along the lines of you liked being like a ninja or something like
Bounty
that?
Hunter ninja, dude.
Bounty ninja.
But every time I'd catch someone, it'd be Dog the Bounty Hunter because he's a dog, and it'd be like, you need God, son. And I'd like put a cig in their mouth every single person I bring in. Gotta find Jesus.
So I heard that you played like hundreds and hundreds of games of Bounty Hunter. Is that true or is that not?
I don't know if that's true. Like 100 maybe. I just played for the longest time just picking the one hero. And
like casually?
Yeah, I didn't know what lanes were. I didn't know anything. So this is
Were you even interested in Dota at that point that much? When you were picking like the Bounty Hunter every game or
it's
Sniper?
Just a game. Like
at that point it was just
listening to Sifus's interview. I do agree with him. Like, you can have this be a game or it can be a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
It's like those people who fly those like really expensive helicopters and you're like, that's a cool game, and they're like, no, that's my hobby that you're talking about. And that's how people feel about Dota. It's like you call it a game to them and they're like, this isn't a game. It's fantastic, you know. It's incredibly deep, and it almost takes like you almost need to get a degree in Dota to like freaking understand the game. And we put in a ton of hours into it. So.
I'm still in grade school for sure, but what do you how do you think your attitude is now versus your attitude when you were playing Bounty Hunter?
Better.
Better?
Yeah, I was a rager for a long time. In StarCraft, got banned all the time.
In StarCraft?
Much. I mean, like, those communication bans, you know, where they just, like, kicked me off the game for a while.
Yeah.
And Counter-Strike, I mean, I do have a Volvo ban on my profile, you'll see.
A back ban, but that was from when you were a kid.
Yeah, well, it was, like, 10 years ago, so I wasn't quite a kid, but can I tell the story?
Yeah, you can tell the story.
Okay, some guy was hacking on a server and owning me and, like, seriously harassing me. And me and my infinite wisdom was like, fuck him, I'm going to come back to the server and get hacks. And so I downloaded the hacks, couldn't get them to work, hopped on the server, validated, and I hopped off and like was, oh, well, they didn't work. Next day I was banned. And this is Counter-Strike 1.6, by the way, so it was quite a while ago. But yeah, I'll never cheat again.
And it's still on his account today, the VAC ban.
Hey, I hold that with pride. It's like a teardrop tattoo on your face after prison. It's like...
Yeah.
Whatever. Bad analogy.
It's behind you. Okay, so what did you do to learn the game? I mean, this is before Denny and I were playing with you. So what were you doing? Did you care about getting better?
It was mainly
just a game for you.
It was mainly TI3 when things like clicked in terms of what lanes even meant.
Oh, okay.
I thought the off lane was that whole lane.
Okay.
Like for Radiant, that top lane would be off lane for Dire and Radiant.
Oh, yeah.
And so people would be like, on Dire, go off lane, and I'd run up there, and I'd be like, what? You're like, I didn't understand the concept. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it was TI3, like, listening to people cast and kind of unlocking the game in that way that it really opened up. And, of course, I watched a ton of Purge videos, too, about heroes I was interested in because he just has a way of putting things that really worked for a new player and streams and stuff. It's been an interesting experience, I think, in .P, like recording the whole process, because it's a lifestyle and an experience to play this game, more so than it's just like a bunch of sweaty nerds sitting in a basement somewhere. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people take pride in their nerdiness for Dota, and that's what I think drew me to it as a hobby, is like, who cares if you're a serious nerd? Who cares as long as you enjoy it? You know, yeah. All those nerds can get together and enjoy the same thing. And, I don't, what was the question again?
The question was, what did you do to learn the game?
Oh, yeah. It was TI, just tons of play, TI3, and I guess talking about it since we started .P. That's been a big solidifier for me.
Yeah.
I talk about it every week. You know?
I feel like when the three of us first started playing, you were 2300, I remember, a 2300 yeah. MMR. And you were by far the authority on the show. Like, we would be like, so what do you think about that, Wazoo? What do you think about this, Wazoo?
Still didn't get any respect, though, so I don't know.
You did. You absolutely did. Like, we would listen to what you had to say back then. You would get so mad, but I don't really blame you that much because, you know, take me now, and this is after, like, 3,000 games, and take those 3,000 games away. Imagine how much I dove. Imagine how many stupid plays I did. Like, I would get really frustrated too because he's my older brother. I didn't really want to listen to you.
And see, at the same time, that is one thing. Never mind. That we'll come to that later on. Let's move on to the next question. See, this is, yeah, okay.
Okay. Well, what would you do differently now knowing what you know?
I would not be so angry with like teaching people how to play. It's because I didn't have a formative view on the game, and I don't think you do at 2300 or whatever. I would keep a way more open mind, and I would diversify more. Because now I've put so many hours into safe lane that like going into another position feels almost like playing an entirely different game. And this is for Matt P or whatever, right? So yeah. Safe lane is like the hard carry lane typically, where the person who needs the most farm goes. So that's kind of where I've
like one, specialized. Two, three, right? You know,
yeah.
Safe lane,
like,
mid, two.
Whenever you hear someone three. Refer to like 1 through 5, that's just farm priority, 1 being the most farm.
And then, mid 2, off lane 3.
But yeah, that's what I would change. I did get really angry with you guys at times because, like, I don't think I understood the game necessarily. And so, like, relearning it from that, I don't know, I had to relearn a lot of things. And that was frustrating. It can be an incredibly frustrating game.
Well, your Lycan blossomed with us. Like, I mean, if you think about it, you were playing a lot of Lycan with us. And getting really, really good on that hero. Your Lycan is still really good. I respect Bandit against you. Because I knew that was one hero I just didn't... I don't know how to... Because you play different types of Lycan. Like, you can do that straight up, you know, one Lycan. You can do that split pushy Lycan. And I don't know. It was cool to see you develop that. Okay, on to the next question. So, what advice would you give for, like, a brand new player? I just loaded Dota 2. I pop into a normal match.
Don't take yourself too seriously. This game is filled to the brim from people 500 MMR to whatever MMR, 6K, 7K, 8K, 9K, that take themselves way too seriously. And if I've learned one thing, it's that like those people that take themselves super seriously and grill you for your mistakes and flame and act like assholes and act like they're the shit, they cap out. And when you're acting like you're the shit at 3K, like it's hard to put yourself into a frame of mind where you can then grow, I think, because you're just
or
like,
even teach, right?
Yeah. And so I know players that are below 3K that act way more authoritative about the game and way better at the game, like in quotes, way better at the game than like even people that are within our community at 5 or 6K.
Well, or
and that's always like an indicator to me that someone's like a student of the game or they just want to use it to boost their ego because like I know I'm shit.
I'm going to use like, Goth here for this example.
I'm like 3K. I know I'm shit, man. Like, I really do. I'm trying to get better. I put a couple thousand hours into the game, never played the old Dota. But some people, I mean, they're like 2.5K and they're like, me carry, me do whatever I want to and, you know, fuck everyone else. And that's just, just don't take yourself too seriously. Be willing to adapt, and I think that malleability, it pays off in Dota.
It does. I want to talk about Gothier for a second with you. We both are big fans of
Gothier.
You
should do an interview with him.
This is show host. We're just doing show host on this one.
I like Gothier,
kind of
yeah.
beginning to know. Yeah, I like Gothier
a
lot.
He gave me Gothblade. If you listen to this, dude, I renamed that Sven sword you gave me Gothblade.
Gothblade.
After you.
But I think Gothier has a great attitude on the game, and that's why I'm bringing him up, is that he's now basically 4K. He's like 3,900. He's climbing, and he has never... I've played with him a number of games, and he's never been that authoritative, you need to listen to me because my number is bigger than yours.
He goes with the flow, right?
He goes with the flow. That doesn't mean he's not going to be like, you know, hey, this would be good if we had this, but he does it in such a way that it's not like, hey, I know more than you, so you need to listen to me right now.
Yeah.
And,
no,
I
he's
really
definitely...
appreciate that.
People in the community should model to be like that guy.
And he's getting
better, fast. Yeah.
I mean, I remember when he was like barely 3K.
I look at so many people who have made like big jumps. I look at people like Chilled Wind who...
Yeah.
Just that kid like went into a closet for like 2 months and came out just super freaking good at Dota. And I'm like, wow, like how did that happen?
He is really good.
But it's because you just see his attitude now. It's a different attitude. And so if you can keep your attitude to a point of open learning and... You might see something you don't like, and maybe from textbook definition, it doesn't make sense. And maybe it is indeed stupid, but just grilling and flaming and like acting like you have some superior footing is just a bad idea in all cases, in my opinion. And so just like keep your ego in check and, you know, enjoy it, I guess.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Wazoo.
Is that all?
Yep.
All right. Doodaloo, everybody.
Welcome back, everybody. I am joined by the infamous Proust. Proust. How are you, Proud?
I'm pretty great. I'm feeling awesome. It's been good.
Good day.
I'm happy. Yeah.
Good show. Good
weeks. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much.
Good show.
I've been having some good times lately.
Yeah.
Great.
Times are about to get a lot better, my friend.
Okay, that's ominous.
No, I mean, like, TI's coming up, bro. You know?
Oh, right, okay. I thought something interesting was that I didn't know about was going to happen, but it's just everything I expect.
You're in the know, except on the questions I'm about to ask you.
Okay.
All right, so we have all the show hosts. I'm asking them all the same questions, and this is for an email that we got from Matt P. Just, he's a brand new player, and he's just kind of wanting to know how to get better. He listened to the show that we did with you, Syphus and I, recently, and found it, you know, to be super educational. So
yeah, well, I'm extremely intelligent, so that's no surprise.
All right, well, first question then.
Why would you laugh at that?
I think you're extreme. I love your arrogance. I was laughing at your arrogance.
I'm not arrogant, I'm just confident.
Arrogant, confident, thin line. All right, how did you get in the game, get into Dota 2?
Well, I used to play like Dota 1 and I was like, man, this game is like a fucking flash game and I want to play World of Warcraft instead. And my friends were like, nah, come on, just play. And I was like, no, I don't want to play. And they're like, oh, come on, just play. And then I did. And I played Skeleton King when he was one button. And they were like, it's basically like each character is like as complicated as like a level 30 WoW character. And I was like, all right, whatever. And then we kind of kept playing and then we stopped and we spent an entire summer playing. And then we stopped, and then I was dating someone, and they were like, man, I want another game play together, because we were bored of Guild Wars, and we were like, man, League of Legends was kind of dumb and shitty, maybe we could like have fun on that for a week. And then we were like, oh man, Dota 2 is coming out, let's play that instead, because fucking League of Legends is stupid as shit. So we started to play Dota 2, and it's great.
Awesome. Okay, so what were your, so your first hero you already mentioned was Skelly King, back before he had the toggle.
I wouldn't call him my first hero, but he was, I mean, I wouldn't call him my hero. He was definitely the first hero in Dota 2 that someone told me to pick.
Okay, so what would your first role slash hero be?
I definitely played carry first, like the person that
really?
That I was playing Dota with. We laned together and I carried because I, you know, knew the game well. Yeah, and then like the first person that I started playing with kind of like, you know, often was like Skrunk, and he would always take mid, and then I would carry, and then we'd have our support. It was pretty great.
Okay, so did you kind of skip the whole start in the game as a support thing? Because it seems
that's
most people's MO.
I started as a carry for sure.
Do you suggest this to people?
I suggest you to start playing with someone. I wouldn't suggest anything. Like, if you're going to just learn how to play the game, like, do what you want. Like, you're going to get matched around whatever sort of MMR you're playing at anyways, right? So if you want to play carry, if that's what you're going to be interested in, that's what you're going to, like, try hard at, then do that. You're not going to get better if you're not interested in what you're doing, right?
So, sure. I'd agree with that. Although the intricacies with, like, last hitting, was that something that you were able to... wrap your mind around quickly.
I mean, like, I understood that I played Dota 1 enough to know what last hitting was, and I played a little bit of League Legends. I mean, I knew what last hitting was. Like, if you're brand new to the I guess there's, like, degrees of brand new. There's, like, brand new where you're like, I don't really know too much what I'm doing and my item timing suck. And then there's brand new, like, I bought boots at 45 minutes, and do I not just rush SNY on every hero? So, like, if you're, like, SNY on every, I don't know, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, you play Dota 2, and then you get set at an MMR, and then if you suck at playing carry, you're going to play with other people who suck at playing carry.
So that's a good point. I mean, you're going to be evenly matched no matter what. Jesus, dude.
I just, like, you cut me off to just let me, I mean, like.
Repeat the fact that you were right.
It seems like there would be someone better to do this, you know?
I know, no, but they picked.
I love you. That was a joke.
They
I'm
picked
sorry.
Me. No. You cleared it up pretty good on the Wednesday show, and you said when you give shit, you know, that means you like the person.
You're okay. You're not bad.
Yeah, you're okay too, dude. You're okay
in
my book.
Thank you.
Okay, so next question. Wait, and this is something.
The question I just answered.
That your first role, hero.
Okay, role. Hero, I don't know the answer to that. Earthshaker with a Battle Fury. Okay, next question.
Oh my god, that's actually pretty cool.
Perseverance, every hero, because it gives you health and mana, and then it builds into Battle Fury, so might as well.
What about Lincoln Sphere? What does that do?
Oh, that's the BKB that that activates itself. That's the other trick.
Yeah. So I always played
like strength safe laners. Not specifically safe laners, but like I needed someone tanky because I needed to start every fight. I needed someone who could carry late game because I needed to be able to do that. So I would just pick like Dragon Knight and Chaos Knight and fucking
Tiny.
Spen. Whatever strength hero that was tanky and could farm. That's what I picked when I was like actually trying to like win games and not build Battle Fury on Earthshaker when I was still super new. Anyway, next question.
Okay. Next question would be when you're in this phase, when you first started, and I'm talking new. I'm talking like you've been playing a month.
All that shit.
Your biggest misconception. The thing that you thought was one way, but it absolutely isn't, and you have learned that now.
That I can farm.
That you didn't feel really, like you could back then?
I don't know. I think focusing on this idea that there's, like, some master technique that new players just don't get that's, like, universal, I feel like that's just not really true. It's, like, the idea of whether or not you should go for a fight or not go for a fight, that's definitely something, like... kind of getting a feel for how far ahead you actually are and when you should actually high ground and when you should not. That's like a huge deal, but that's not just like, you know, I can't just tell you a trick, kid. I can't fucking do that for you. You can't ask that of me and then expect something good. Right?
I know. And honestly, that was my big thing when I first started playing Dota 2 was like, so what's the answer to everything? There is no 42, you know what I mean?
The only thing close to 42 is practice last hitting, get farm.
Yeah, get Buckers, farm.
Get money.
And of course, we're talking to the carry player. Proud. I hit Proud up often to ask him about his builds on different heroes. By the way, I played your PA build recently and wrecked with it. So thank you for that.
Yeah, it's nice. Just get farm. Like, no matter what, if you're focusing on, like, the main thing on what you should track when you're new, get Dota buff or whatever, and then you can go to trends and track your GPM across your entire life. Like, as my MMR gets up, my GPM is going up the exact same way. Like, that's just farm money. Just get money. Just the money. It's a game about money. You get money.
Okay.
That's what you do. Get money.
Get money. And that makes a lot of sense. And definitely,
Fuck everything. Get money.
Yep. Okay. So what did you do to learn the game? What did you do to get better? Did you use like in-game guides? Did you use out-of-game guides? YouTube? Did you have what resources?
So anytime I had a major skill jump in playing Dota 2, that was when I was like playing very closely with other people. Normally it would be in a team. When I got really good at Lone Druid, that was when I had I had a Lone Druid buddy that I would talk to. And we started the Bear Clan, which was a collective of Lone Druid people who would talk to each other, which was really just like four guys. And then it became just kind of two, and that's kind of dissolved. I still have a couple of people who I talk to. But yeah, just talking to another person. You know, my tiny got better when Skrunk was talking to me about his tiny. It's just like talking closely with people. I don't really feel like trying out, like looking up guides and shit actually does too much for you. Like, it's good to get a general build before you play a hero and you're curious about a build. Don't look up like a build on Dota Fire or whatever the fuck that I used to do in like fucking, I don't know, 2012. Like, go to Dota Buff, look at player rankings, find the best players of whatever hero, and then kind of like compare them, be like, okay, most of them do this thing. Every Sven turns out goes Helm of the Dominator, Echo Saber, BK or Blink, BKB, fucking Daedalus, and be like, okay, I'm too shit to build a Blink, so I'll do this build minus the Blink. Like, do that. Don't look at whatever builds. I mean, like, they're nice if you don't have time to prepare for a match, you just random something. Yeah, like, click the Tortellini build or whatever the fuck, and that's not bad for, like, a very general audience. But go to Dota Buff, look at what good people do, and do that. Yeah, watch Purge play a hero before you want to play something. That's always a good idea. I didn't have this great resource called Theorycraft Thursday, but if you want to play a hero, check there. I hear those guys have a loose idea of what they're doing, especially that proud person. I'm Proust, so I don't know that. But
yeah. No, he's really talkative, though. And
he curses a lot, which I don't care much for.
Yeah, I don't care much for it either. Gosh.
Oh, truthfully.
Golly gee. Okay, so the last question for you, Proud, and I mean, this is we have every show host coming on this, so we have to keep him. Yeah, we're already like a couple seconds over, but that's fine. In every single question that I've asked you, you've kind of hit this, but I think you can hit this in a really poignant way. What would be your advice for that 3 week to a month old player? Like, what would be the brand new player, the best advice that you could give them?
Okay. It's like 3 weeks to a month old. Like, I don't feel like you're old enough to play Dota at that point, but it's just they've been playing for that long. Okay.
Yeah, they've been playing for a month.
So it's like I can't train Mr. Blue's new baby. I hate no. baby.
Yeah. I mean,
that would crush his smooshy head.
They're anywhere from they're old enough to play Dota and get Dota, but they're brand new. What is the best advice you can give for them? Male.
Okay.
Yeah. Best advice you can give them. Something short and sweet.
Okay.
Processing.
Focus on your lane. Focus on always be thinking what am I trying to do next. And if you can't figure out what you want to do next, think about what you want to do 10 minutes from now. And then just kind of like, it doesn't even matter if you stop fucking moving. Just like take your hands off the keyboard. Ask yourself what you want to do next. That's always what you need to know. And if you don't know what to do next, fucking that's what you're going to think about after that game is done. You're going to go back and see how the game develops in 10 minutes and look back and be like, all right, what would I have liked to have happened at this point in the game? And then next time I'm here 10 minutes ago, I'll ask myself, what do I want to do? And I'll know what I want to do. The main thing is you need to know what the progression of this game is supposed to look like to you. All you really know is you need to break their ancient and you need to not have your ancient broken. So as you keep playing Dota 2, try to fill in the gaps between like, okay, before I break their ancient, I need to take down all of their tier twos. Okay, good to know. Before I do that, I have to take down all of their tier ones. Good to know. Before I can actually kill their towers, we need to have a sufficient advantage. Good to know. And then eventually get to the granularity where you're like, okay, so what all of the tier ones are down. What do we need to do to get this advantage? Eventually, I figured out what you need to do after all the tier ones are down is you buy a smoke and you just do that. You just smoke. But it took me a real long time to realize that. I was like, man, every time we smoke, either nothing happens or something good happens. So I learned always smoke. If you have a smoke up, just fucking do it. You know what the fuck you're doing? Fucking smoke.
Worst thing that happens is nothing happens, right?
Yeah, you smoke the jungle. That's the when I played the in-houses, it was like, oh hey, nothing's going on. Proud says it's a smoke to jungle. What a fucking surprise. Basically, what do I want to do next? If you don't know, think about what you're doing every point in the game and then look back on it and say, okay, at 20 minutes, I wish that we had taken down all their tier ones. So next time in a game at 10 minutes, I'll say, all right, let's try to make sure we take down all their tier ones. So, and then also farm. Fucking farm.
Yeah. Dude, super valuable, and I really do appreciate your knowledge, and I wish somebody would have said that to me when I first started, to be honest with you. Just think about what you want to do next, because oftentimes you're just running around like with no real reason, and we've talked about it a bunch of times where it's like you should have a sentence that you're telling yourself, like, this is my sentence of what I'm going to do right now, and that's why I'm headed there. Yeah. And that's super valuable. Proud, thank you so much for coming on this.
So you always want to think, okay, however many is also when you're farming, this is more high level, whenever you're farming, always think where you're going to farm 30 seconds from now. Don't just kill a camp and then be like, oh shit, all the other camps around here are gone. Like, if you farm in a spiral and then you have no camps around you, like, you're a fucking idiot. So always be thinking ahead. Okay. It's hard to do that when you're new, but just everything you do, every step you take, every move you make, think about the future. It's not how the song goes, but it should be, because foresight is more important than being overbearing.
Awesome. Well, Proud, thank
you. It's kind of a song about stalking. I mean, everyone knows that, but just wanted to say.
Thank you, dude.
Do you have anything else?
Or no, those are all the questions.
This is like super fun for me for like
15
minutes.
Oh, I know it is. These shows will continue, but we have so many show hosts, as you know, that we've got to keep it down, but keep the time down. But thank you. Definitely some, I learned a lot just
can you,
from this
15
minutes.
Like sing the rest? I mean, there's not that much left. I don't feel like it's that much of me to ask for you to sing the rest of it.
To sing the rest of that song?
No, what the fuck? No, just the outro, whatever we're doing right now.
To sing it?
I don't know. Are we
thank you with Proud, and we're going to have love coming up.
All right, I'm actually going to hang up.
All right, thanks, Proud. Okay. Welcome back, everybody. This time I am joined by our newest team member, and maybe my favorite team member, Flub.
Oh, thank you, Roland.
No, I'm serious, dude. Like, you've done the most for our team. You sat in for two excruciating hours. You taught us a lot about drafting. You have a good knowledge of Dota 2. Like, ooh, I wish I had that way of thinking. I don't know. One day maybe it'll be cultivated, but it's cool to be able to see a hero and then think of like 12 other heroes and like how you're gonna pick and ban. And I don't know, dude. It's like, have you ever seen A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe?
Oh yeah, it is sometimes like that.
I mean, he goes crazy at the end, though. You know, but
yeah, well, Dota. You know, we are Dota players. So.
Yeah, you might lose your mind, but
you'll look really cool doing it. So it's okay. Yeah,
you will look really cool doing it. All right, we'll get right into it. This is kind of a tough question to ask you, this first one, because I think of everybody that we've had on the show, you have been playing MOBAs maybe the longest. You've been playing MOBAs like how
probably.
Long?
Probably. I've been playing for about 10 years.
What was your first MOBA?
Dota. Original Dota.
Okay, original Dota. How old were you? Like during?
I was...
Were you old enough to be good at it?
No. I was 15, but like that didn't really matter. There's plenty of 15-year-olds that are very good at MOBAs.
That's true.
But no, I was more focused on Halo at the time because that was pretty popular back then.
Yeah,
but...
and you'd get all your buddies together and you'd link all your Xboxes up and yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was fun. So how did you get into Dota All-Stars? Or what was it? Was it Dota or Dota All-Stars that you played? I don't really know the difference.
Well, I played original Dota for a very, very minute time, like not very much into it. And then I played Dota All-Stars mostly, which All-Stars kind of, they changed quite a bit about it at that point, but it wasn't like, it felt like a, just another big patch personally for me, because I wasn't really even into it that much at that at original Dota.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's basically the same thing. The Dota has like a very long span, and like if you go back to like original Dota when it like first came out and stuff like that, it's not even the same game. Like I guarantee that you would probably hate it.
Didn't Ice Frog have nothing to do with it until it became Dota All-Stars? Or
right. Gensu was the one who originally made it, and he handed it over to Ice Frog after a while, and Ice Frog kind of made it his own, and that's kind of actually what got me into it, was the changes that he made. And see, I played when only because I didn't even know about it until my brother went off to college, and he's like, "Hey, dude, I got this new game that they all play in the dorms, and it's freaking awesome." And
it was Dota.
It was Dota. He started it up, and I enjoyed it, and it was fun. But I had to learn every hero before I played online. I wanted to know everything about the game, so I played bot matches until I like memorized what every hero did.
Oh, that's cool. That's an approach. I'm sure a lot. I had that same approach, except so Arsenity left us a 4-star review, and this is like 2 years ago on iTunes. And the only reason for that 4-star review is because I randomed, because I wanted to expand my hero pool. And he's like, but and he's like, never random in ranked. And I was randoming in ranked. And I agree with him now. I hate that when people random, they get Arc Warden and then they reroll and they get like Arc Warden or Meepo, like things like that. And I absolutely despise those people. So it was well deserved. But I wanted to learn everything, but I guess I wasn't willing to put in like the work. I don't know. Yeah. How many heroes were there at that point?
At that point?
As many? Because I know there were, like, the Gambler. That was a hero, right?
Yeah, the Gambler was a hero. Like, old Pudge. Pudge used to be completely different. There's a lot of different heroes that were out. Like, the Gambler and old Pudge were the ones I always remember, because they were, like, simultaneously really broken or really shitty. Those are the ones that first pop up onto your mind, because like, those are the ones that kind of had the biggest impact on me playing the game. But there's like, there's actually like a cheat code you could type in, because everything in Dota was was just a normal game. You could only pick the heroes on Radiant if you're on Radiant, and the Dire on Dire, unless you typed in like AP in the beginning or whatever mode that you wanted to go into. And one of the modes was open heroes or open something. I forget what it was. And you could go to another shop all completely outside of the map, and you could play with like the heroes that had been forgotten and thrown away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So there have been a lot of, like, obviously there's been a lot of heroes thrown away.
Oh yeah.
Is Arc Warden a new concept, old concept?
I'm pretty sure it was a new concept. I'm almost positive all of these are new concepts, because like, but the thing is I was playing, and when I was playing, it was kind of like I didn't really know the game that well. So like I played each hero, and I'm trying to think back through all the list of guys. I should probably just look it up, but I'm pretty sure he's completely new, because Ice Frog liked to do a lot of weird stuff. And when he does things, when he makes new heroes, he generally doesn't like to like carbon copy another person's abilities. Yeah. So,
and it's true. I mean, the only real blaring examples that I can think of that come to mind right now would be Shadow Shaman's chicken hex compared to Lion's frog hex, you know?
Right.
And you know, I think items oftentimes mimic abilities, but that's okay. And that's cool.
I mean,
that's what makes the game great. So you played Dota All-Stars. Did you continue your MOBA past this point?
I did, and I played
Let's hear the list.
Have you ever heard of Demigod?
I want to say yes, but I'm going to say no, because I don't know anything about it.
It was a very silly game. The only reason that I thought like of even getting it was that you could play like this guy that was actually a castle. He was a castle man, and he was like, it was ridiculous. He was like five times the size of any other model, but he was just this big lumbering giant that like ran across the field. And I was just like, oh man, I just want to play like a guy that has people on him. That sounds great. And so like I played that game. It's very silly and unbalanced, but it was fine. And I also played Heroes of New Earth.
Yeah.
And that game really got me into MOBAs in general, because I was into Dota, but Heroes of New Earth, like, it was a better version. It was like updated graphics pretty much, and just updated version, it felt like. There's some differences that I learned later on, like it actually doesn't have look speed, so like your turn rate actually doesn't matter in that game. But me being a newer player at the time, I didn't even like notice until, you know, that people started talking about it and I started to really get into it. But
were you good at Heroes of New Earth, or Han? Were you good?
I played that more than like anything, because like I got really sick right out of high school. I got really sick and I had to drop out of school, and like I couldn't do anything. I just like basically sat in my room for like the first 6 months, and I was like, okay, well, I gotta find a video game, and I just like zombied the hell out of that game, and I got really, really good. I played a lot of mid, and that's when I really fell in love with the game. There's a character named Deadwood that, if anyone has ever played Heroes of New Earth, they will know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's, oh man, it's so much fun to run up to people and just punch them in the face, because that's basically what the guy did.
I do love to play Tiny and just smash people in the face.
Oh yeah,
you know, that is fun. Well, yeah. Okay, so that's question one. I knew that question would be a little harder with you. I'm guessing after Han, you went straight into beta, Dota 2 beta?
Yep, I was, I think, like 4 months late on when people who were getting the closed invites. I got a buddy that got in like 3 months or 4 months late, and then he invited me because it was only open to like friends of people at that point.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I got in that way, and I've been playing since, oh man,
sometime in 2012, right? Or late 2011.
Yeah, it was. I have it right here. It's my first match was 11/19/2011.
Wow. So November 19th of 11. That's crazy, and we're in 2016.
Yeah.
So you've been playing the game a while. I wish I had different questions prepared for you, because you were one of the first. Okay, this will be interesting, because do you remember what the first patch was that you were on? Because I remember like I started in 6.79 or 6.8. Like,
see,
was it in the fives and the fours back then? Was like 3.2?
Yeah, it was.
We'll just move on to the next question.
That's a hell of a question.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it is. I mean, that's when I first started playing StarCraft 2, was like 2010. Like, and I was probably into StarCraft 2 at my peak, probably in November of 11, is when I was playing StarCraft 2 religiously. So, what was your first role and your first hero? Like, what, like when you in Dota 2 beta? We'll say you got into Dota 2.
I'm pretty sure it was Crystal Maiden. I'm almost positive my first game was Crystal Maiden.
Your first, like, you already knew Crystal Maiden though at this point.
Oh yeah, like, okay. I knew her really well. I'm there's a direct transfer in Heroes of New Earth, and in Dota I played her quite often because I was with my brother, and older brothers are gonna make you support generally when you first start.
My brother does. Wazzy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's an older brother.
Yep, exactly. So you know exactly how it feels. Yeah, I know he was older than you, but I didn't know if Wazoo had the same.
Well, he made Sifus support until Sifus isn't around. Then it's like, and we're both safe lanes, but I have to support him. It's like, it sucks. Yeah, it really sucks.
I feel the pain, man. I feel the pain.
Yeah. So you support. So is that why you're a support today? You think it's because of your older brother?
That, and I had. Back then, I actually had friends that, I had real-life friends that played the game, and they were all just, like, doing it casually, and no one ever supported. Like, if you're playing this game casual, no one ever supports. So, I was like, I started to take it seriously, and all my friends were like, yeah, I just want to carry, man. They just, like, insta-click carry. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to learn all these guys then. And I just learned how to start stacking and warding and all that jazz. And it became pretty important to me after a while. But the thing is back then people looked at your stats like hardcore. So I had all these games on mids, and then I switched over to supports, and no one wanted to pick me up because like I had not enough wards for supporting, but not enough kills for mid because I was doing like a bit of both.
Oh, so it wasn't just like an easy matchmaking system at that point.
Oh no, it was bad.
I mean, it's still kind of bad. Let's be honest, like you still get 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, it's changed. It has improved so much, man.
I know.
You have, oh my God.
I do have no idea. I played for, so my first game was technically February of 2012 for Dota 2.
Okay.
That's pretty
long ago.
But I didn't stick with it or anything. I played Storm Spirit maybe 10 times. Didn't ever teleport anywhere. Didn't understand his abilities. Literally, like, this guy looks cool. Never played a MOBA before. Jumped in and was like, fuck this, I'm going back to StarCraft. And then it wasn't until 2014, July of 2014, when Wazoo finally convinced me to play it again. And I was like, oh, that shitty old game, dude? Like, I don't want to play that. And then next thing you know, like, hooked harder than heroin, here I am talking to you. Okay,
it has that effect on people, man. It does.
To the point where you're, like, laying in bed and you're like, God, so if I were to draft this, like, the drafting is what's really grabbed me by the horns lately is putting a team together. And that's something that I think here in the future we'll definitely do a show on, if not a series, on just drafting. Because, I mean, so many people go into it and think, oh, that'd be easy. But, you know, when it's crickets and when I'm like, what should we ban? It's up to the person who clicks the buttons. You know what I mean? And you have to decipher a lot from a little bit of information. And I'm getting to the point where I don't think that the bans are random anymore in my skill. Like, for the longest time when I'd play Captain's Mode, it just felt like they were either banning meta or just banning just to ban. And right. Now it feels like they're banning for a reason, you know? They're banning because they want to pick something and that hero happens to be good. Which means I can actually decipher information from their bans. And it's making it a lot more fun.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so this another tough one, but if you can put yourself back in the shoes of November 19th, 2011, what was your biggest Dota misconception then compared to now? Like, what is a big thing that you have learned from then to now? Is there anything notable?
How important smokes are.
Okay.
Like, I did not understand smokes because when I played in Dota 1, I never used them. And I don't even know if they were even out at that time when I was playing Dota 1 because I switched over to Han and they didn't have them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I remember like watching the International and I was like, the first International, and I was super excited about it. I stayed up and like watched almost every game. And they had like games that like,
was that Justin TV? Was it before Twitch? TI1?
Yep, it was before Twitch.
So it was Justin TV?
Yep.
Oh wow, cool.
Right.
Yeah.
And I stayed up and I was like watching all those games and I was like, man, this smoke thing is ridiculous. Everyone goes invisible for like
move speed increase. I don't know if it was that way
increased.
Back then.
Yeah, it was move speed increase and invisibility. And I was like, invisibility for a whole team for 50 gold, but I read it wrong, and it obviously it breaks when it gets close. I thought it was just invisibility. I was like, just like,
Jesus Christ, that's broken, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like, this is the most dumb thing ever. I was even like threatening. I was like, I don't even want to move over to Dota 2. This is dumb. Like, this game's all wrong. It's their supports are way too strong in this game. I just need to go back to Han.
But there's so much to that, even in a smoke, like with a Ricky. Like, you send your Ricky out that's smoked. And you see and invisible, and you see when his smoke breaks, then you can, you know, if you have that on your draft, you can work around like, okay, Ricky's smoke broke, so we know that there's somewhere around here.
The thing is, though, Ricky wasn't out at that time.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Ricky's a new hero to Dota 2?
Well, he was in Dota, but when Dota 2 came out, they only ported over, like, I want to say, like 40 heroes. It wasn't that much. Yeah, like the first International was crazy. Like, go back and look at it. Like, AA mid was one of the
Ancient Apparition?
Yeah, Ancient Apparition mid was like a super popular thing, and like that's
crazy.
What, like Dendi won, pretty much. He like had like some of the best alts, and like you're talking to like about like black holes and stuff, and like RPs and other tournaments. It was like AA blasts were the big thing.
Where the
then.
Crowd would be like, oh,
yeah. Ah! Where they're freaking out, you know.
Did it work in a similar way where you would? It would send out the thing and then you'd stop it and then the actual projectile would come?
Yeah, it's still the same. Everything's still very similar coding and the way that the abilities still work, because it's still like pretty much ports over from Dota 1. But they basically didn't port over all the heroes because they wanted to get it out quick and get people excited about this, because I think they didn't want Heroes of New Earth to like take over that market. And they kind of wanted to grab it
and
back
God,
from.
Did it die? Jeez, like yeah. I mean, quickly and swiftly did Heroes of New Earth die? Do you know anybody that still plays Heroes of New Earth?
No.
No.
Yeah.
That poor game. Like even League of Legends, I guess, just branched off enough that it could live. Or
well, it branched off enough, and it had like.
Difference like you
it had
can't
a loyal fan base, and it was different. It wasn't Dota, and that's how Han started, was that it was Dota with like one or two original characters, and then they realized Valve was going to take it over, and they're like, oh shit, we got to make our game different so we don't get in trouble, and they turned it into a big pile of shit, and just it was awful.
Oh really? So I wasn't Ice Frog working on Heroes of New Earth for a while.
For a while, and then he moved over to. Well, actually, was he?
I don't know. These are just rumors I hear. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. Cause like, I thought he did, but that wasn't 100% ever. I never like fact checked that. Whenever I was back then, yeah,
I've never fact checked it either. To be honest,
I'm gonna go on record and say yes. That's exactly what happened.
Okay. All right. So after all the bot matches in Dota All Stars, once you started playing actual games with other people, mm-hmm. What is the difference between your attitude then toward other people and toward the game, and your attitude now toward people and toward the game?
I rage a lot less now than I did back then.
So you raged.
Yeah, I raged.
At one point, you raged.
Oh, yeah. I used to be a rager.
Really?
Yeah. But I would only rage if someone said anything bad that I did or any one of my friends did.
Oh, so
and
you're very
I was
protective.
One of those guys. Yeah, okay. I was one of those guys that was protective. And I'd be like, oh, man. I would just be like screaming at the mic. And I realized that didn't really help. So.
No, it doesn't at all. It yep. doesn't at all. Okay, so we'll do last question. So the whole reason for this episode is we got an email from a cool guy named Matt, and he wanted to have something a little more educational and kind of wanted to get, I don't know, you guys are like gods in Dota to me. I mean, this guy's only been playing 3 weeks and he's playing Lion. And he has a friend that's playing, and he said he is better than his friend, and they've just been doing bot matches. Do you have any advice for him on maybe accelerating his knowledge for the game, or what to do to get better?
I think bot matches are smart, but they're smart to a certain point. It's about learning the hero's abilities and understanding what they look like and what stops them. It's not about fighting and understanding when you can go in, or how general creep farming works, or how pooling works. Getting into the real experience, getting into meeting with people, that's what a lot of real Dota is about. But before you can do that, you have to understand the abilities that you're working with. And playing bot matches is great. I actually, whenever people are brand new, I always go and I try to tell them, play your bot matches. That's fine. It's a good thing to do, because you're going to see so many animations and so many random lights going on your screen that you're going to be like, what the hell just happened in these team fights? especially if you get like a black hole and an AA blast and like Tidal, it's just like,
and then it's Fen Stun comes in, you're like, what the hell was that? Like, and I watched Dota before I played it because StarCraft was getting old, and I enjoyed it for the fact that I understood that, like, if their ancient dies, they win, if you know, and so on. But as far as team fights or like plays, I would watch plays of the week, and I didn't understand why that was a cool play. Like, oh, yeah. I would be like, this is lame. Like, what a lame play of the week. I'm going to go back to watching StarCraft play of the weeks. And it's all because I didn't understand the game.
See, yeah. I've introduced people to Dota, and, like, they don't generally understand the games. Because, like, I've had, like, pretty much, like, Super Bowl parties in the past for TI, where I would just, like, invite all these people. And
so you have people that live near you that are into this?
Very few. Like, some of my best friends, like, are still love to watch it. They don't play it anymore.
Oh, okay.
They just, like, they don't want to play up with me. They're just like, nah, dude, we don't really want to get trounced.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean to, like, pat myself on the back, but, like, that's what they tell me. They're just like, yeah, we just don't really want to play, like, because they don't play very often, so. But they enjoy watching it still. And
it's fun
to
watch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's fun to see truly brilliant people on the stage, because they are. I mean, like, no offense or anything, Flub, but, like, if you were going to be a pro, don't you think you would have been a pro by now? Like, I really don't mean any offense by that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you think there's, like, some determining factor? Like, you've been playing long enough. You've probably been playing longer than maybe some pros.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What? Like, why? What makes them pro and not you? Is that, like, can you quantify that, you know?
Yeah. Some of it's luck. Some of it's the idea of them understanding things quicker or adapting quicker than I did. Some of them, it's really they fell in love with the game when they first started out. Yeah. And they just played it from there, and they zombied it. I say I've been playing for 10 years, but, you know, I've been, like, kind of, it's kind of
in and
more
out.
Like, in and out, and yeah. It's almost been more like 7 to 8, but, I mean, that's still a long ass time.
Yeah.
And, I would say that they are also have certain mentalities that drive them to do this, and it's good to have. It's good to have that mentality, and it's also good to have people that you can play with around. I feel like a lot of my time, whenever I was playing with friends, and it's good to play with friends. Don't get me wrong; like, play with your friends and have fun, and if that's what this game is, that's great. But don't play and try to bring up your friends to your level, because if they don't want to get there, then they're not going to get there.
And it's just wasting your time in a certain degree, to a certain degree.
Right. And yeah. I've spent years doing that. Like, a lot of my friends, like, I would try to get them into tournaments and stuff, and they would say, yeah, I'll play. And
but
then,
just not have the devotion.
Yeah, and they wouldn't care, and they wouldn't practice. And it wasn't anything like what Dota is today, though. Like,
yeah,
you know, when the first TI happened, people were like, holy shit, this is
awesome.
This is insane.
Yeah.
Video games are getting to be like an actual thing that you can do for a living.
Yeah.
And I always wanted that. I always wanted to get into that field. But I also wanted to have, like, friends and get into the aspect of, like, just playing it for fun.
Sure.
Back then. So I didn't really ever push myself until...
Yeah. I mean, you probably would have had to play with people that were either slightly better than you or your same skill and rise with them, right?
Right.
And just grind games. Like, what, 10 a day? 12 a day?
Right. Like, and I would always be playing with people that were lower than me for, like, I'm not joking, probably, like, 5 years. I was playing with people that were, in our MMR standards, probably like 1,000 to 2,000 less than me, like, constantly.
But still, you're still learning some things, but you're not learning, like, oh my god, I'm getting chased by somebody who is better than me. Did I just outjuke somebody who is better than me? You know, or something like that.
Or more of, like, understanding the potential that someone else has and understanding the mind games that are within it. Like, a lot of times when you get to MMRs, like, it's not about like, did I juke this guy? It's about being like 20 or 5 steps ahead of the guy. Mm-hmm. and understanding, like, okay, he's gonna, like, if I go up this hill, he's gonna shackle me to the tree. But if I immediately, like, even before I get up to the hill, if I force staff and I stun him, I can actually force staff to at an angle where I know that he won't be. And it's like, that's what Dota is. It's about, like, it's like playing chess. And they say that in the first TI, what is that? Or is it's not the first TI, is it? It's free to play.
Oh, free to play? Yeah, that was like TI3. Maybe that was the first TI, free to play. Was that the first TI?
That's what it's about, I think.
Maybe it was the first.
After the second TI.
Okay, yeah, it came out after this. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the first TI. Great.
And yeah,
suggested exactly. To everybody.
It's amazing. And one of the, I believe one of the casters, one of the famous casters or one of the famous players say, it's like playing football, which, you know, soccer for us, mm-hmm. football and chess. And it's
a
good way to
sense.
Explain it.
Yeah.
Like how I explain it to people is it's basketball and chess because it's 5v5. Everybody has a certain position. There's like, if you kind of think about it, like the center is the off lane. The point guard is like the one, maybe the two in certain situations. Guards are kind of like supports. And like a power forward, he's kind of like a two or a one in certain situations.
Like your mid, like doing the cool stuff, like
right.
And
it's very like that, right?
Yeah, I don't play basketball, but yeah.
Okay, sorry.
No, like I understand enough that it's like a 5v5 game, you know, and I understand that there are different positions and guards and whatnot, but yeah.
Well, like guards, like will like set picks, and generally are like the guys who set up passes and set up the plays, and then like the one the point guard kind of like I won't get into it because people don't want to hear about basketball, but the idea is that people think about this game and it's like playing chess, 5 different chess games at once.
Well, it's like speed chess, like. I got really into lightning chess on chess.com where it was 5-minute games, 3-minute games, and 1-minute games. So you had to think extremely quickly. You had to react quickly. And the 1 minute especially, like, you're just making a move. You don't know if it's the right move or the wrong move, but you need to make a move because if you run out of time, you lose.
Right.
And that's a lot like Dota, those speed games, because it's making a quick decision and hoping that it was the right one. You know,
right?
Because
right.
you'll see if it worked, you know, when they react, basically.
Right.
So yeah, I mean the chess analogy definitely hits home as far as my. It's just that instead there's 111 different pieces and they all do weird, you know, things instead of like an L shape or a diagonal or a straight line. Like it's just a little more complex than that.
Yeah, and like they all do those shapes, and then you can also buy items
that give them more shapes.
So many people on the other side that make more shapes.
That's a pretty brilliant way of because you get the real timeness of basketball with the steady decision making of chess, but you have to make a decision because you're in real time. Whereas chess, you can sit there for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and ponder and ponder and ponder. You don't have that luxury in Dota, and I think that's what I disliked about it at first is. If I'm playing a strategy game, I want some time to think, man. You know, like give me a chance to like figure out my next move, you know? And now it's like if react and react right or you're dead, you know.
See, that's one of the things whenever I play strategy games outside because I've always loved strategy games growing up and that's kind of probably why this is such a big draw for me. Like now after playing Dota for so long, like I can't stand people taking long time to think anymore.
Me too. Like Munchkin, for instance. Like it's a strategy game ish. It's more luck of the draw in Munchkin, but God damn it, dude. Like, my turn is ready. I kick the door down. Okay. I loot the room if I don't have a monster. Like, I lay all my shit down, and then people are like, huh. Well, and it's like, come on. Like, this is nothing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Or like Settlers of Catan. Like, I know exactly what I'm going to do the second it's my turn. You know, unless I roll like a 7 on my turn and have to discard half my cards or something like that because I'm over 7. But anyway, like, yeah, I feel the same exact way toward like board games, strategy games, or just strategy games in general. Flub, I went on with you for like 3 times as long as anyone else. but I feel like some of these questions were a little bit harder to ask you than to ask other people, and we needed a little bit longer. Yeah, and I think, yeah, you can't stay in bot matches forever. Would you suggest anybody at this point go through a bot match and play every single hero before going out into the normal match?
Because
that just seems like a lot. And are you really going to gain that much as a new player playing Earth Spirit in a bot match?
See, it doesn't necessarily. But the thing is like, you'll at least understand... You'll understand the visuals you're seeing.
Oh, the visuals. Like, okay.
Because, like, you don't... It's not about learning the player and getting good with the player and trying to master everything in a bot match, because you're not...
Going to do
you're
that
not going to do match. That. Yeah. Like, it's about understanding what your hero is capable of in any situation. So, like, going through that 100 and so games, it's not that big a deal, in my opinion, because if you play Dota a lot, you're going to go through that in no time at all. So if you like just start out and you don't even have to do all the heroes, do like 100 of them and play your first 100 games on bots and just understand what each hero's potential is before you jump into a game.
So that way,
if you see a Crystal Maiden and a Sven on the other side, you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to have to worry about getting close because they have slows and stuns. And
but then you have to. Then you get into interactions where it's like, oh, I bet Anti-Mage is awesome against Crystal Maiden. And then you're like, wait, I can't blink? I can't blink out of this? This is ridiculous.
That's,
you know?
That's true.
I mean,
but you're gonna find that already.
Yeah, like, you'll find
something.
It's
going to be even worse if you don't play bots. You know, you're going to be true. Like, what the hell, this Ember Spirit guy? Like, I just casted a Chrono and he just went through it like it was...
It was bullshit. Why?
Yeah.
Glitches in this game.
Why is everyone cheating in this game? This is insane. Or like Slark. Man, like if
the
I
purging.
Didn't know Slark
oh,
was
yeah.
Playing,
I know. I stunned him. You saw it?
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's, yeah. Oh,
he's
dude.
Still walking away. This
that got me for a while where I was like, that hero is stupid. I don't know what happens, but I stun him. And then he's like, he does this weird water thing and he's not stunned anymore. I don't, it's like, what is it? It's not a purge. No way would they give a purge on that low of a cooldown. No way.
Exactly. And it just like, there's stuff like that, that like, you're like, man, this doesn't make sense if you didn't know what the game was doing, you know? And that's why I suggest doing that. And then getting into a game and trying to get into like a game with people who are understanding, friends, whatever, what have you.
Dot P guildies.
Get dot P guildies. Those are great people to learn from. Mm-hmm. And just basically play with a good environment, because you're gonna be so confused at first. And if you don't have someone there holding your hand, in my opinion, it's gonna take you like at least 10 times longer to get through the game and get to the point that you want to be good.
Dude, since you ham guys, I guess I could call you, or like you, Proud, Skrunk, I don't really know Vafa, unfortunately. I bet I've never met him, but like Ursi, you, Flub, Proud, Skrunk, like I feel like I'm accelerating a lot faster, for sure. As far as just general knowledge, what to do, what not to do. Sitting down with Proud and getting those one-on-one sessions where it's like, okay, I want to play PA. Tell me how you build PA. Like,
right.
And tell me your skill build. And then going into the game and knowing like, okay, well, Proud's really good at the game and this is how he builds her, so I'm going to do that. And it working out and being like, wow, maybe he was right. Maybe that guy who's like twice my MMR is right. So,
yeah.
And that's after 2 years of playing. Like, it's insane. Like, I'm still a noob. And I've put in thousands of hours, thousands of games, and I'm still considered a noob. You, two other people, you've put in, you know, maybe even more time, and you're considered a noob to some people. It's just, it's such a crazy game. I think that's why we all love it, is that you can play for 10 years sporadically, but you can play for 10 years and still be a noob. You know what I mean?
You can, there's, I can almost guarantee that even the pros, they get to a certain point, they're still learning things. Maybe not every day, but they're still learning things. Learning new tricks of the trade.
The interactions, yeah, there's so many, like, it's at least 5, 6, 7 a week. And maybe they're, like, inconsequential sometimes, but some of them are consequential. Like, where it's like, oh my god, I didn't know that you could do that.
Or, right.
So.
And that's shown. Like, in tournaments, you'll see, like, a guy who's been drafting for a while and it's like, all right, yeah, this team's doing this. And then, like, another team just drafts this weird, really weird draft and they're like, all right, well, this isn't going to work. And then it works. And they planned everything out and it's just amazing. And
it can just get foiled in one pick.
Yep. Exactly.
That happened to us tonight, with Bloodseeker and, we had Anti-Mage Timber and they last picked Bloodseeker and Kairai, who's much better than me, was like, oh, I'm sorry, Anti-Mage. At first I was like, why? Like, it's just a Bloodseeker. And then I realized, like, Rupture, I can't blink away from it. The fucking Silence Field, that sucks. Everything sucks about Bloodseeker for Anti-Mage, and I got owned. And then the same is true for Timber. I don't know why more people aren't picking Bloodseeker against Timber. Can't Timber chain away. You can just wreck him. You can silence him. You can, you know, blade mail him down. Like, you can do a lot of things to Timber on Blood. And this is a hero that I don't even fucking consider. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, anyway, Flub, I have had you on the horn way longer than anticipated. We just basically did a whole show. But thank you so much for coming on. I think this show in general will be helpful, hopefully, to you, Mike. I'm going to give our plugs real quick. You can find us, of course, defenseofthepatience.com. You can find our Twitter at @.p_show. You can find Flub at FlubDota, correct?
Yeah.
Two B as in boys. You can find Wazoo at @.p_wazoo. You can find Syphus at @.p_Syphus. You can find Ursinity at Ursinity. You can find Proud at ProudDota. I think that is everybody that came on the show today. You can also go every Wednesday to our in-house. That is twitch.tv/.ptv. You can go to YouTube, which is /.ptv1. Patreon, we have the whole nine yards. Don't forget Toffee's GoFundMe. If that reaches his goal of $2,800, Defense of the Patience will be giving away a 27-inch AOC 1080p monitor to somebody who isn't anonymous. Sorry, I can't really give a computer to somebody who is anonymous. So if you've donated already, you're already in the running. But it has to hit that goal of $2,800. So get out there and donate to Toffee's. He'll bring some good stuff. You know Toffee's, Flub.
Oh yeah.
Can you vouch for him?
Oh yeah, he's a great guy. I've been playing with him and hanging out with him for good, like, 4 or 5 years now.
Oh damn.
Yeah.
So what was Toffee's like 4 or 5 years ago?
He is very ragey when he plays this game. He is old me. If someone says some shit about you, he's gonna kick their ass. Like, he wants to, like, get on a plane and kick their ass for you. It's awesome.
I can see that.
I love that guy. He's awesome.
Well, cool. Well, also, you can find Toffee's at Toffee's_Dota2. That's it, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this special episode for this Friday. Maybe next Friday, Flub, me, and maybe Jinjikai. I don't know. Jinjikai wanted to come on and talk about drafting for his team as well. Maybe we can get a draft show put together. And here, you know, maybe I can throw some hypotheticals at you and see what you'd pick and run simulations based on counter pickers or something. I don't know. The idea is obviously isn't solidified. But
sounds good, man.
I definitely want to do a draft show. Anyway, you guys, this is Roland. Thank you so much, Flub. Thank you so much to all the people who aren't here to receive my warm graciousness. And I hope you enjoyed the show.